listen to some music and come right back to this list. This next one is by Lucy Dacus off of probably the gayest album I've ever heard in my life, called Forever is a Feeling. It's her most recent record, and this is called Most Wanted Man. It's so gay. Enjoy.
This is Bert Note. For as long as humans have been solving problems, we've looked to the living world for inspiration. We've even got a word for it.
Biomimicry is a term that comes from the Greek, bios meaning life, and mimesis meaning to imitate. And so the idea is problem solving and innovation and design, where we are imitating what nature has already created.
That's Billy Allman, a futurist and biomimicry expert who says that lots of modern inventions incorporate elements of biology. like airplanes.
That's an example of mimicry of form. So the Wright brothers, they actually studied turkey vultures and the aerodynamics of their wings as they were working on their first iterations of the airplane.
Nowadays, biomimicry is helping engineers design state-of-the-art technology, like energy-efficient vehicles and climate-resilient architecture. And Billy says there's still a lot more we can learn from nature, our first teacher.
I do believe that nature holds maybe not all solutions to all things, but I think a lot of what will be based on our continued understanding and exploration of the natural world.
Learn more about biomimicry in the latest season of Bring Birds Back, available in your favorite podcast app and at our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jazzy Johnson.
Let's get right back into it. You're listening to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and I am so excited to embark on this journey with you where I am recommending, in my opinion, what is underrated Yuri manga. I spent the first part of this episode talking a little bit about what I understand of the historical origins and histories of Yuri manga, and now I'm ready, and I hope you are also ready to hear my recommendations. I have organized it in this way, okay? I am very serious about making this into a mini-series, partly because I love Yuri manga so much. It is something that I grew up with. It helped form my understanding of my sexual orientation. It helped me accept my sexual orientation. And it's like that thing that Ocean Vuong says, right? Being queer helps you survive and whatnot, gives you alternatives of like whatever, that type of thing. It showed me that alternative. But also, really importantly, I'm really excited because I actually have already recorded the entirety of my recommendations list that I was going to share with you today. And it was so lit. It was so fierce. It was so poppin' that it is way too long to fit into one single episode. And so I have decided to do this. I am going to separate my recommendations based on how I was originally going to section them, which is by romances focusing on teens, romances focusing on young adults, and then romances focusing on adults. Today's episode is going to be stories about teens, all right? Here's what you should know about this. Number one, I am focusing basically only on Japanese manga. So, Japanese comics. There's not going to be any anime or drama adaptations or anything like that. It's just manga. The other thing that you should know as well is that I will be spoiling every single one of these series because I want to talk about them. And I think that sometimes when you know a little bit about the series, it can like entice you into wanting to read them. Also because all of them are dramas or slice of life. Only one of them is a comedy. And sometimes it is just easier to draw people in with the entire plot of a drama or slice of life because a lot of people are not enticed by those genres of stories. And then finally, I'm gonna try to give a rating of each story, as in like a readership rating, because even though, let me say this, even though I grew up reading Yuri manga, there was a lot of stuff that maybe I should not have been reading at the ripe old age of like 11. And then at the same time, even though there are Yuri manga that say that it's it can be read for audiences 16 and older. Sometimes when I read them, I'm like, yeah, nobody who does not have a fully developed prefrontal cortex should be reading this. It is deep, it is complex, and sometimes, you know, just find a way to, like, follow the story, right? So I'm gonna try to do that. I'm gonna see if I can be consistent about it. But that's kind of what we're gonna be working with today. Oh, one other thing as well is that in each section, I'm going to give a special shout-out title as well. The special shout-out title are not on my formal list, either because I haven't finished reading it yet or because of some other reason. But they're in the special shout-outs because there is some kind of merit to it that may or may not be within the realm of it being underrated or anything like that. Let's just say the qualifications of my formal list don't necessarily apply to the special shoutouts. They're just there because if you have had very little exposure to Yuri manga, maybe you would be interested in reading it for some other reason. All right. Are you ready? I hope so. Strap right in. Let's get started with my first shout out for this section of Yuri manga depicting teen romances. This one's actually already really popular in North America. I just don't have it on my list of formal recommendations because I actually personally don't like this story and series all that much. But for a person who's not all that familiar with Yuri manga, they might find quite a bit of merit in it. This one is written by Sumiko Arai, and it just actually got picked up by a North American distributor. It's called The Guy That She Was Interested In Wasn't a Guy at All. In Japanese, it's called Kini Natteru Hito ga Otoko Janakatta, or shortened as Kini Oto. And this is a self-published manga that began being posted online a few years ago. The story follows a girl named Aya, who is a popular girl at school, but she has some interests that don't really align with what her friends are interested in. She loves Western rock music, and a lot of her friends just aren't into that stuff. To avoid getting ostracized, she hides it from them, but she frequents this local record shop that has an employee who she kind of has a crush on. He's this cool guy who wears this, like, big oversized hoodie and mask, and he's super duper knowledgeable about rock music, and he is not a man, actually. He is actually Aya's shy, introverted classmate, Mitsuki, who has to disguise herself while she's working at her uncle's record shop. So I think for people who are not very familiar with Yuri manga, but who might be interested in reading more, this one's a pretty interesting one because it is one of the rare stories that has a more masculine presenting lead character. You actually don't get that very often in Yuri manga. The only other series that I think, like, falls immediately into this category of teen romances and has a butch character maybe is Kase-san, and even that one I really don't know that I can call Kase-san, who's the love interest in that story, butch. There tends to be a trope of a girl who's princely, meaning that she's kind and kind of like chivalrous and courteous and who everybody admires, but that doesn't necessarily always mean that that character is masculine. One of the other stories featuring a masculine character that I can think about right now is called The Girl That Can't Get a Girlfriend by Mieri Hiranishi. And that one, I mean, it is about a queer woman, but I don't even know if I would call that necessarily Yuri. I think that falls a little bit more into like autobiographical stories, because it is an autobiographical self-published work. Yeah, complicated stuff. And again, I think, you know, kind of falls into the discussion that I had earlier about like who Yuri manga is written for, what it depicts, what topics does it cover. But yeah, again, if you're interested in reading a Yuri manga that has a more masculine presenting character, that one was The Guy She Was Interested In Wasn't a Guy at All by Sumiko Arai. But okay, now that we've talked about that, let's get into the meat of the matter now with my formal list of recommendations in the category of Yuri teen romances. Let's get started with our first story called Girlfriends by Milk Morinaga. This is rated for older teens, and I wrote a summary for each story. So I'm going to read my summary for Girlfriends by Milk Morinaga. Quiet Mari's simple days spent reading and studying are turned upside down when she befriends Ako, an outgoing fashionable classmate. As Mari and Ako grow closer, they discover that the bond they've developed stems deeper than just regular friendship. In my opinion, this story plays out very similarly to a lot of other Heisei-era shoujo manga for older readers. So there's a lot of exploration around beauty and dating and desire. This story also happens to be quite a bit more open about more taboo subjects as well, such as alcohol and sex. The story is not very long. I think it runs 5 volumes, and it was published in the mid-2000s to late-2000s, I believe. So actually, there are a lot of things here that maybe have not aged as well as they should have. There's, for example, quite a bit of talk about body image in a way that is not all that helpful. And at the same time, I really do think that people should read this story if they have not read a lot of Yuri manga, or if they're interested in reading Yuri manga, because one, for me, it was an identity forming Yuri manga. It was probably, I think it might have been the very first series that I followed and read when I was young. The other reason why I would recommend it is because I'm pretty sure that every single late millennial sapphic weeb has read this story. It was basically the most popular Yuri manga during that time. It was so popular that it was on every Scanlation website, and you can even find it on YouTube. If you looked up the scans on YouTube, you can find it. People would like put the images of the scanned manga into some kind of like movie making software, and it would just like run lights like slideshows. It was amazing. But yeah, I mean, like, a lot of people really, really liked this one. I think because a lot of the Yuri manga that we had during that time was really melodramatic, and a lot of it was kind of cringy and corny, really harping in on the sort of older, more dated tropes, I think, in Yuri manga that a lot of the times really focused on the class S aspect of things, like students at an all-girls Catholic boarding school, and the main character is a freshman who falls in love with a beautiful, mysterious sophomore student who takes her under her wing and is like, emotionally like provoking her in various sorts of ways. I just really assume at that time, like, a lot of us didn't want to keep reading that stuff. We wanted something to a little bit more grounded, which reflected our experiences of being at regular schools, hanging out with girls who, you know, were our age, who are also worried about a lot of the same things and who are not worried about their onesama not paying attention to them and whatnot. The story is in no way like Kimi ni Todoke. It is not really wholesome. It is very, again, I would point to a lot of other Heisei era shoujo manga that covered very similar themes around like sex and desire and being in bad relationships and stuff like that, or not knowing what you want in relationships and stuff like that. So hence the older teen rating. The one thing I would say about Girlfriends that I think it falls short on is that because it's so short, we never get to see Mari and Ako date. Like, the entire story is the build up to that. It's about them becoming friends and then realizing that they're in love with each other. We don't really get to see them having a very like fun romantic time together. In that sense, it is a little bit closer to, I think, Class S genre work, where it's a lot of yearning and it's a lot of really intense emotions, but we don't unfortunately see a lot of that payoff in the end. But it's a good one. I would really recommend it, especially if you are of the younger generation and you love yuri manga. Yeah, read Girlfriends. Luckily, the next work that I'm going to recommend, I think, resolves some of that problem that I had with Girlfriends. This one's called Rainbows After the Storm. In Japanese, it's called Hana ni Arashi, and it is written by Luca Gobachi. This one has a teen rating. It is a lot more tame than Girlfriends, and I would summarize it like this. Chidori and Nanoha and their friends spend their days as doing all the things that other high school students would. Studying, checking out cute cafes, going to the movies. They're all tied at the hip. Except Chidori and Nanoha have one thing on the others. They're actually dating each other. And their friends don't know about it. Hana ni Arashi is a really wholesome slice of life romance that depicts the love of two besties who just happen to fall for each other. I think this one is a really underrated story because I think it's just started getting serialized in North America, and so nobody's freaking talking about it, basically. But I also think that, again, it resolves like the issue that I had with Girlfriends. This entire story is about Chidori and Nanoha's love. The way that they show up for each other, the way that they support each other and move through conflict. And they do so in a very sweet and healthy way. It rivals Heartstopper in the realm of healthy communication, I would say. Hana ni Arashi is also special to me because I started reading it when I got a little bit older, and I was just really not all that interested in reading high school romances again. I think at that point I was like, there are too many stories about teenagers and I'm getting bored. And a lot of those stories are really, sometimes they can be like really messy and hard to follow and intensely laced with drama that I don't feel is always necessary in a high school romance drama. But Hana ni Arashi kind of like is a soothing balm in that sense. It's very, very sweet. It's very, very cute. The art style is very clean and looks very cute as well. I would definitely recommend this one. That's Rainbows After the Storm by Luca Kovacci. My last one in my teen romances category actually is an author, not a single series. This author's name is Otsu Hiyori. It's O-T-S-U. Hiyori is H-I-Y-O-R-I. And they wrote some of the very first eerie stories that I read as well. Their stories, I think, really follow that class S genre of storytelling really well. It's about girls who may or may not be in a romantic relationship, but they are really enamored with each other. They are really motivated by each other to become better or to pursue their goals or something along those lines. And it is also very chaste as well. One of the stories that I think depict this kind of like homage to Class S stories the best is a series of shorts called Clover, which focuses on four sisters of pretty big age gaps and the relationships that they build with their friends and co-workers while they're in high school. Another story by Otsuhiori that I really like, which kind of diverges from Class S and is a little bit more Yuri, is called Aqua Blue Cinema. This one's really, really short. It's very cute, and it's about a young actress who recently broke up with her girlfriend and who falls in love with this girl at an on-location shoot in the countryside, and she tricks this girl into becoming her assistant. You know, a little bit of mind games here and there, I guess. But the art style is very cute, and the way that the two fall in love is also really cute. And I've read that story so many times. I believe you can only find Otsuhiori's work by being creative sailing the seven seas, because they haven't received a distributor in North America. But if you can get your hands on some of their stories, I would strongly recommend them. They are really incredibly sweet. Whoa, would you look at the time? We are running out of time really quickly on this episode of Typically Tuesdays. We're at the top of the hour here. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. This is just part one of three of my list of Yuri manga recommendations. You're going to be hearing more in the coming weeks, and I hope you're excited as I am, because as you can tell, I can talk a lot about Yuri manga. Almost as much as I can talk about like idols and social justice issues, which you've heard the show, you know what the show's about. Anyways, thank you so much for tuning into today's program. Check out more great CJSF shows like Bitcoover, happening every Tuesday from 8 to 10. I know you didn't get to listen to a lot of music today on Typically Tuesdays, but Bitcoover's got you covered with video game music, electronic music, and synthesizer stuff. It's a really fun time. Tuesdays from 8 to 10 here on 90.1 FM or cjsf.ca. All right, one final track for you today. There's just something about the song. I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, I feel like it is so gay. Hello, Hi by Munya on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM. I've been Leslie. I'll talk to you soon.